You can have all the money in your hands, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worthless treasure. True worth is only measured.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Open Language. This is Connor.
And this is Adam.
And today we're talking about something important to anyone who has a job.
Sure, especially if you have a low-paying job.
Right, we're talking about raising the minimum wage.
Okay, so this is the wage, or it's not really a salary, and we can talk about that later, but this is the lowest legal amount a boss is allowed to pay his or her employees.
Right, exactly. So we have a dialogue here between Anne and Frank.
Oh, right. And Frank is a small business owner. He owns a bookstore.
Yeah, and Anne is asking him about his business.
Right. So let's go ahead and find out how business is for old Frank.
All right.
How's business, Frank?
It's pretty steady, Anne. My wife and I are still crunching a few salary numbers, though.
Oh, right. The minimum wage increase goes into effect soon, right?
Yes, so we're weighing our options. We're doing everything we can to avoid letting anyone go.
That must be tough. If you don't mind me asking, do you pay all of your staff minimum wage?
No, that's all right. We pay a competitive wage, but part of what makes it attractive to our staff is the benefits package. Unfortunately, that's where we might have to cut.
I'm guessing bookstores like yours don't have the biggest margins.
They're razor thin. But we're trying not to pass any cost increases on to the customers.
Honestly, I've always considered myself a progressive, but I'm not sure how I feel about all of this Fight for 15 stuff. Maybe it's not the hill to die on.
These top-down approaches rarely solve anything, and this is going to eliminate job opportunities for those who need them the most.
I guess I've always thought that if you can't afford to pay people a living wage, you shouldn't be in business.
That's certainly the way the debate gets framed these days.
But I suppose it isn't fair to paint all business owners with the same brush.
So you finally believe I'm not some evil, money-grubbing fat cat?
I never said you were evil.
Okay, so the dialogue kicks off with Anne asking Frank, how's business?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and he replies, it's pretty steady.
That's good, right? Yeah. You can't really ask for much more than that as a business owner.
Yeah, for sure.
However, it sounds like he and his wife are still crunching a few salary numbers.
Right, so if you're an accountant or in that business, then you know exactly what this is. It's when you have to calculate a lot of numbers.
Yes, crunch the numbers. We talked about this in terms of tax season, so as Connor just mentioned, accountants. But we all have to do this in our daily lives from time to time.
Yeah, it's like the image I get is you're taking so many numbers here and there, your receipts and everything else, and you're kind of trying to combine them, push them together into one number that you can then file for your taxes.
Right. Or in this case, to try to keep your business afloat.
Afloat. Ooh, yeah. Have it keep going steady.
Exactly. And the reason for this, as Anne is well aware, is that the minimum wage increase goes into effect. Now, we should say, like, the law goes into effect,
for sure,
right?
For
or the
sure.
policy goes into effect.
Right, exactly. Policy or even some government legislation.
Yeah, so something that any piece of legislation will always have a date on it. So on this date or after this date, you have to pay your employees a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And that is the minimum wage.
Right, yeah. So it starts on that day. The minimum wage, as Adam said in the intro, it's the lowest legal amount that you can pay. And what's the difference between a wage and a salary?
Yeah, so salary is basically like, this is more of a white collar concept.
Yeah.
Like you're going to make, I don't know, a six-figure salary. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
But a wage is more like $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I always think of it like that. Like it's by the hour. And salary is, I think of it like it's by the month or the year.
Or the year.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Now, is there a maximum wage?
I've never heard of a maximum wage. I don't think there is.
A maximum wage. I would like to get the maximum wage.
A company itself might have its own wage cap.
Mm, right.
Salary cap.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so in any case, if you are a business owner, it doesn't matter if there's new legislation coming into effect, you are always going to need to weigh your options.
Yeah, totally. I like this one. It's when there are two choices, but both of them have kind of pros and cons.
Yeah.
So you have to balance them.
You have to balance them. So if I do A, you know, this will happen, but this will also happen. If I do B, maybe the first thing won't happen so much, but the second thing, there'll be so much more of.
Exactly. So you're in a dilemma.
It could be a dilemma. It definitely is a dilemma, right? So we have to all weigh our options from time to time. In this case, Frank is weighing those options because he's doing everything he can to avoid letting anyone go.
Right. This is like the last resort. Mm. You don't want to do this if you're a boss.
Right. So let it go. Doesn't that sound pretty nice though? Let it go. Let it go.
Oh, please don't. Uncle Crazy. That song again. Yeah. No, this is just a nice, polite way to say you're fired.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Now, there could be a few little semantic differences, right?
Yeah.
Like, oftentimes, you let someone go. It's maybe not their fault.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, we had to let him go.
We had to let him go. Yeah. We didn't have the money. We crunched the numbers. We weighed our options. Mm-hmm. And we had to let Connor go, but don't tell him.
Yeah. And we often use the word here, layoff.
Yeah. Layoff is actually, that is when there might be the intention of bringing them back.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like a factory worker would get laid off when production is low.
Right.
Right. Yes. But then when they want to increase production again, they'll call Connor back up. We need you, son. Back on the factory floor.
Forget it. I'm done with you.
I got a job with open language. See?
Yeah. Yeah. So Anne says to Frank then, oh, that must be tough. But she has a question. It's kind of a personal question. So she says this before the question. She says, if you don't mind me asking.
Right. And which, you know, Frank or anybody could say, you know, I don't really want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of personal. What, you know, how much do you pay your staff? It's really none of Anne's business.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But Frank's like, okay. He says, no, that's all right.
That's all right. Yeah, no, like anytime someone says, you know, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking, well, I don't know if it's appropriate to ask someone's salary or wage, but if you don't care, you can always say, no, that's all right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's no problem at all. So Frank, he's a pretty cool guy, so he doesn't mind talking about it. He says one of the big things that attracts a lot of their staff is their benefits package.
Right. So it might not be the, you know, the dollars, the actual, the amount of their wage.
That, yeah, exactly right. This is actually surprisingly important, your benefits package.
Sure. I mean, this could be anything from, like, dental benefits, right? Mm-hmm. Going to the dentist for free.
Yeah.
In America, health insurance is a huge benefit.
Right.
Like, people will not quit their terrible job for fear of losing their health insurance. In Canada, we don't have to worry about this.
Yeah, yeah, lucky Canada. And the reason we say package, it's like, I think of it like a tour package when you get, like, go on a cruise or something like that. You get a lot of goodies in one little package.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be even things like, you know, you get to use the company boat.
Company boat, company car.
Right, exactly, exactly. Unfortunately, though, especially in this environment of, like, government-mandated increases to the minimum wage, a lot of companies, a lot of bosses are looking at these benefits packages as the first place to start cutting.
Yeah, they're the first to go. And Anne understands that, so she says to him, I'm guessing bookstores like yours don't have the biggest margins.
The margins. Okay, you guys might know margins from, like, a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Before you start typing on a piece of paper, you want to put around an inch, 2.5 centimeters.
Yeah.
Those are pretty standard margins on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
What about a business?
Yeah, business, it's a little different. It's the difference between all the total revenue that you bring in and the costs that go out.
Right. So, you know, some businesses, you can put in just a little bit of money and you can get a lot in return. You don't have to sell a lot of products.
Mm-hmm.
If your job is to sell, like, a really luxury watch or something like that, you don't really, your margins are probably pretty high on that luxury watch.
Yeah.
But if you run a bookstore, it means that, you know, books are they're not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And your staff, you know, their wages, they're you know, you have to pay them and you have to pay for the hydro bills and you have to pay rent and everything.
Yeah.
So you're paying out a lot of cost and you make money by selling so many books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to sell a lot of books. And the margin is just the difference. Like how much more are you making?
Right, with each additional unit sold.
Exactly.
Now, it sounds like these margins, because they're not so wide, they're not so big. In fact, they're very, very thin.
Yeah, they're not just thin, they're razor thin.
Razor thin. Yeah. Okay, so guys and girls, I guess girls, you probably don't shave on the old face very often, and guys, you probably don't shave your legs very often. But of course, that is the tool you use to shave.
To shave, yeah. And you can imagine they're very sharp.
Sharp and thin.
And thin, yeah. So when would we say razor thin?
Well, you wouldn't call a person razor thin.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, Connor's a pretty thin guy. I would not say he's razor thin.
No. I hope I don't get to that stage ever.
But usually it's more about, like, let's say during an election.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Connor and I were both running for president. I get 49.5% of the vote, and Connor gets 50.5%.
Ooh, now that is a razor thin victory.
Right. Or a razor thin majority.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or even a razor thin win. Right.
Yeah, for sure. So if your margins are razor thin, there's probably a temptation to want to pass on those cost increases to customers.
Yes. Business owners love to do this.
Mm-hmm, so. Yeah.
Pass on. It's funny because we use pass to kind of mean like, you know, like no thanks, like I won't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this case, it's actually like pass, like give.
Giving, yeah, exactly. Like just means increasing the price of the books.
Right. So, you know, if the price of food goes up, then the restaurant will pass on that price increase to all of the diners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody has to pay for it. So we're going to make you pay for it.
We're going to make you pay for it. Exactly. That's business, right? Yep. That's business. Now, a lot of lessons in recent weeks, in recent months, have dealt with kind of different political ideologies, different political parties, and just phrases you can use to describe people on different sides of most issues.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And in this case, Anne considers herself a progressive.
A progressive. Okay, so progressive basically means left-leaning.
Mm-hmm.
You could say liberal. Again, in America, these phrases, they have kind of unique meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, a progressive is someone who wants change
the future.
The future,
new ideas.
You know, there's usually a lot of support for helping, you know, the most marginalized, if we can use margin again. marginalized people in society, and that the government has a big role to play in that.
For sure. But in this case, she's not so progressive. She's a little bit skeptical about the fight for 15.
Okay, fight for 15. The 15 here refers to dollars.
Yeah, $15. So they're fighting for $15. That doesn't sound like a lot.
It doesn't sound like a lot. But if it's fighting for $15 an hour, and you're working 40 hours a week, then, you know, it starts to add up.
Right. So this is a movement happening in, I think, hundreds of cities,
states, provinces here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're trying to get it at like the national or federal level, but it gets a little bit trickier up there.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And it's interesting. Adam and I were talking before the podcast, and we were talking about the number 15. Why is it 15?
Yeah, you know, I have some friends in the labor movement, some very, very progressive friends.
Yeah.
And they will be the first to admit that it's an arbitrary number.
Ooh, arbitrary. Yeah. So there's no real research or something that is based on?
There are things like different bits of data that have to do with, like, we call it the poverty line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the thing about 15 is that it has the F sound, and so does fight.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of alliteration.
Alliteration,
Which just sounds good, right?
Sounds awesome,
If we said fight for 16, you know, that doesn't really sound...
Fight for 11.
Fight for 11. Yeah, it just doesn't sound too wonderful there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, but regardless of all that, if it's an arbitrary number, if it is, you know, a well-researched number with lots of sort of... you know, reasoning, good solid reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
According to Anne here, she's thinking maybe this is not the hill to die on.
This expression is kind of like a metaphor from the military, right?
Yeah, from the army. Mm-hmm. Think about like all those Roman soldiers trying to take over, you know, some other, whatever other civilizations existed back then.
Right, exactly.
Carthage.
Mm. Oh, yes,
you know, and then, like at that time, you basically, like, if you controlled the hill,
yeah,
you basically control the whole area.
Right, and if you're the enemy, you're trying to get up the hill.
Like up the hill.
Yeah, but sometimes that hill, that battle is not so important.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that gets to the heart of this image, right, of this metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And you do hear it an awful lot in politics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Recently in America, it was about immigrants. Not even immigrants, mm-hmm. but like the children that were born in America mm-hmm. to parents who were not Americans.
Oh, right.
Right. So the government wants to kick them all out.
Right.
And of course, one party, the quote-unquote progressive party, in American politics, you know, they thought that, oh, maybe we can take a stand here.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them decided, no, this is not the hill to die on.
Yeah, and you can actually say this different ways. Like, I might say, it's not a hill I want to die on.
It's not a hill you should die on. Yeah, so it's not necessarily a set phrase. The idea is set. As long mm-hmm, as, mm-hmm. as long as, you know, the twin concepts of hill
yeah.
and dying on a yeah. hill, as long as they're both there, then yeah. then I think the metaphor works.
For sure, for sure. Now, you were talking about how this phrase is often used in politics and government.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of those styles of government is the top-down approach.
Yes. Okay. So everything comes from the top. Mm-hmm. All of the orders come from the emperor or the king or the government.
Right. And they slowly disseminate down to the bottom.
Right. Right. But according to Frank here, you know, these approaches rarely solve anything.
Right. And he says it's actually going to eliminate jobs.
Right. Now, one word that often comes up in this discussion is automation.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
automate.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So a company like McDonald's, like, it's pretty easy for them to lay off, to get rid of, you know, a certain staff and then just build a couple terminals.
That yeah.
You just type in Happy Meal and yeah. get your Happy Meal.
Like self-serve, kind of.
Like self-serve. So a lot of people say that this Fight for 15, this mm-hmm. is really great if you already have a job,
mm-hmm.
If you already have a minimum wage job. But if you don't yet have a job,
yeah.
it might kind of eliminate some opportunities because people like Frank here are just not going to be hiring new people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So this word eliminate, we sometimes use it. It just means like to remove something like completely, right?
Completely. Yeah. You'll always hear it in movies. Yeah. Like the bad guy will always say, eliminate them.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can be eliminated from competition.
Yep.
So then Anne has this point that you hear a lot of people talk about when they talk about raising the minimum wage. She calls it the living wage.
The living wage, yes. So this is a huge talking point on the left or mm-hmm. Among progressives.
Yeah.
Living wage, right? Like this idea that the boss, in this case Frank, you know, should pay not only a wage,
mm-hmm.
but a wage that can help his employees support a family.
Yeah, to live comfortably, right?
To live comfortably, mm-hmm. right? Now, on the surface, I don't think too many people think that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you think, well, wait a second. You know, what is their job here?
Yeah.
Like, you are just putting books on a shelf?
Mm-hmm,
like, yeah. I did that in my 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, it was a fine job, but I wasn't trying to raise a family doing that.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds good, right, at face level, but it's pretty complicated.
It's complicated, right? Because who decides, you know, at what level,
mm-hmm.
You know, these people should get paid? And I mean, this is just another example of a top-down approach.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably, you know, some economists who are saying, oh, well, if all people were paid this, then, you know, great things will happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the message that we all hear in the news because that's the way the debate gets framed.
Yes. Okay. So framed here, it's... I was going to say it's not like a picture frame, but it kind of is like a picture frame.
A little bit,
frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of this as just the way it's presented.
Sure, 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 sure. You think about a movie, like every single scene in a movie, every single shot mm-hmm. in a movie is framed a certain way.
Yeah.
The director has chosen how to present this to you.
Yeah, if you're out of frame, you're not in the movie.
You're not in the movie, exactly. Right, and this is the way that this thing always gets framed now, is this in terms of this living wage. That if you are to have a business, if you are to have employees, you must pay them enough money to raise a family.
Right. And business owners are kind of left out of the debate a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they're really vilified.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Villain, of course, is another word for bad guy. Mm-hmm. And vilified is just that way of saying, like, oh, you business owners, you're all so rich and you're all on your boats and doing rich guy things.
And, you know, there are some business owners that probably are like that, but, you know, it's not good to paint all of them with the same brush.
The same brush, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning just to kind of lump them all together, mm-hmm. to put them all in the same pile.
In the same category.
Just to not be able to distinguish between, you know, like Rockefeller up here, yeah. and, you know, like just some guy who's has a grass cutting business down
here.
Yeah,
for sure. And that's kind of a hot topic these days with all the harassment allegations.
Yeah.
So like a lot of men may be getting painted with the same brush because, you know, not all men are going to harass somebody.
Well, or not all men are Harvey Weinstein.
Exactly.
Here, right?
Exactly.
Like maybe, you know, I'm thinking about like my own grandparents. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know them when they were young men, mm-hmm. but I'm sure they walked around and flirted with the secretary.
Different times. Yeah.
But I don't think they're monsters like Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Anne says that you shouldn't, you know, judge everybody the same. And Frank's like, well, so you finally believe I'm not a money-grubbing fat cat?
Well, not an evil money-grubbing fat cat.
Oh, yeah, missed that. Yeah, that's pretty important.
Yeah, exactly. Because don't forget, like, business owners are also evil.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Right? Haven't you guys watched cartoons? So money-grubbing here, I'm just kind of, when I think about grub, I think of, like, in the dirt. Like a grubby person.
Yeah.
Kind of a dirty person.
Yeah, they're just sort of so eager to make every little penny. They're looking for it in every little corner.
Yes, exactly. Every dirty corner.
Yeah, every dirty corner.
Mm-hmm. And then fat cat here is another word we often use for like rich boss.
Yeah, rich boss. And it's kind of negative a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both pretty negative, right? And of course, evil is also pretty negative, which is why Anne responds here in a pretty clever way. I like the way she responds. I never said you were evil.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm grubbing for another listen of this lesson.
You fat cat, you.
How's business, Frank?
It's pretty steady, Anne. My wife and I are still crunching a few salary numbers, though.
Oh, right. The minimum wage increase goes into effect soon, right?
Yes. So we're weighing our options. We're doing everything we can to avoid letting anyone go.
That must be tough. If you don't mind me asking, do you pay all of your staff minimum wage?
No, that's all right. We pay a competitive wage, but part of what makes it attractive to our staff is the benefits package. Unfortunately, that's where we might have to cut.
I'm guessing bookstores like yours don't have the biggest margins.
They're razor thin. But we're trying not to pass any cost increases on to the customers.
Honestly, I've always considered myself a progressive, but I'm not sure how I feel about all of this Fight for 15 stuff. Maybe it's not the hill to die on.
These top-down approaches rarely solve anything, and this is going to eliminate job opportunities for those who need them the most.
I guess I've always thought that if you can't afford to pay people a living wage, you shouldn't be in business.
That's certainly the way the debate gets framed these days.
But I suppose it isn't fair to paint all business owners with the same brush.
So you finally believe I'm not some evil, money-grubbing fat cat?
I never said you were evil.
Okay, well, as usual, guys, with these kind of more political lessons, there are no easy answers here. Mm-hmm. It's really going to depend on different people's opinions. But it just so happens that I am sharing, you know, a space right now with someone who not only has an opinion on this, but who has been approached by the media.
Oh, yeah, that would be me. I wasn't approached. I was approached on the street.
Right.
They were looking for the opinion of just anybody walking by.
Right. Average Joe.
Average Connor, about the living wage. And you know what? I'd heard of it. I knew they were looking for $15. Mm. And it had been framed, the way it got framed to me was that, yeah, this is a good thing.
Mm.
And I hadn't really done my research so much because it just like, well, I was not really in that boat, that it really mattered a lot to me at the time.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one thing they often talk about is, you know, like, who makes the minimum wage?
Right. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that is one thing that a lot of people, when they're framing this debate, they conveniently leave out the fact that, like, kids make minimum wage.
Right. Yeah.
Not only kids, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. there are other people who are making this amount of money. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, it's unskilled labor, mm-hmm. right? Like, these jobs do not require a lot of skill.
Right.
So my take on it is always that, you know, this top-down approach mm-hmm. of the government, you know, telling the business owners, mm-hmm. you know, you have to pay them this much. Like, that's a huge effect on the market. Mm-hmm. I would much rather see the government, you know, use their money. They take enough of our money
yeah.
that they could just, you know, open more schools
right.
and get these people who are in these minimum wage unskilled jobs, get them some skills.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was funny. I gave kind of this answer that it was like, yeah, it's a good thing. And then later I was like, I wish I gave a more nuanced answer kind of thing.
It's funny because had you done that, you know, that beautiful smile of yours would not have been in the newspaper.
Yeah, that's true. I gave them the answer they wanted.
Right. And you're pretty photogenic. So, you know, they're like, oh, we'll just use this guy. Local Vancouverite Connor agrees.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, what about you? Do you agree with Connor? Do you agree with raising the minimum wage? What is your take on all this? Is there a minimum wage in China?
Yeah, and what do you think about bosses? Are all bosses just rich, fat, cat, money-grubbing people?
Money-grubbing fat cats, yes. Jenny, if you're listening, we don't think you're fat.
All right, guys. Well, we look forward to seeing all those comments, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye, guys. Look in the mirror, proud of who's looking back at you. Define the life you're living, not by what you take, but what you're keeping. And if you bet on love...